Again, good morning. There we go. We got it now. Good morning, everyone. Trust and pray everybody is doing well and that you had a wonderful, happy, safe Thanksgiving. Whether you were with friends or family or whether you celebrated by yourself, we trust that you had a wonderful time. We have so much to be thankful for. God has been so good. As I always say, God is good. And all the time. God really, really is good. I do want to let folks know today, I know we do have some folks that are outside as well as over in our sanctuary area. If you are out in the parking lot, you can actually tune your radio to station 105.5. It's FM 105.5, and that way you can hear the audio. As it's gotten colder, we know it's a little bit tougher to set out there with your windows down or if inclement weather comes along, but thanks to Don and Ernie, today is our first day of a trial at broadcasting on the radio station FM 105.5, and that's just local. That's just, you know, on our campus. So if you're viewing and you think, hey, I'll just listen to it on the radio, don't worry about that. That's just low power here for campus in keeping with the FCC regulations. So that's just a little way to enhance your worship opportunities if you're outside. But at any rate, no matter whether you're outside on the lawn, we know we've got some there today, in the car, whether you're here in the multi-purpose center with us or whether you're in the sanctuary, we welcome you today. We want to begin with a word of prayer and ask the Lord just to bless our time together. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful once again to be able to come into your house and, Lord, to come into your presence. Lord, we just pray that today you will help us in all that that is said and done, that you truly might be magnified, honored, and glorified. Lord, as we gather around your word, Father, as we lift up our prayers to you in unison, we thank you, Lord, that the church is not about a building, but it is about your people. So, Father, today as we come together, help us to pay close attention to the Holy Spirit speaking to us and the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would truly draw us to you. Father, if there's one here who doesn't know you that's in the sound of my voice today, we ask for your conviction, Lord, and their surrender to just give their life to you and serve you for the amount of time that we have left here on this earth. So Lord, we just again pray that you bless our time as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is that special time of the year as we kind of close out November after Thanksgiving and start to head into the Christmas season. And most of you know that one of the things that we really look forward to supporting each year is our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Now, for those who may be watching and you don't know what that is where all the Southern Baptists get together when they support the Lottie Moon offering. That is what supports our missionaries on the foreign mission fields. We have another offering that comes up in Easter. That's our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, but this is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and it goes to international missions. It's what pays the salaries of our missionaries that are overseas. It's what provides the necessary supplies and materials for them to be able to do the ministry necessary without always having to take that time off to come back home and try to raise support. So all these monies go to that. We've got a video that we want to show you here in just a moment, and then Tony is going to come talk to you for just a moment about our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for this year.
Nani amewahi shikwa na polisi? Nani amewahi kuliwa na chawa? Nani amewahi lala njaa kwa street? Nani amewahi dhulumiwa kimapenzi ama anajua mtu amewahi dhulumiwa huko street? Kudhulumiwa kimapenzi.
Whenever I was hanging out with the boys, people would come to me and be like, you know, these boys are dangerous. You know, these boys are going to hurt you. You know, you shouldn't be here. I mean, they're just despised by everyone.
Only a few understand that these are just normal children who have been forced to the streets with different circumstances.
They're not loved. They're actively insulted and abused and kicked.
Show them love and they will respond with love. Show them a bad attitude and they will repel from you. They are just children.
2009, 2010, I was serving as a photographer with the International Mission Board. And one of my last assignments was a story on a young lady working with street kids in Nairobi, Kenya. I would spend from 4 in the morning to 10 at night with this group of 20 kids, getting to know them, hearing why they were on the streets. And the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, the Lord is going to call somebody to work with these kids. Like, somebody needs to come do something. So I finally just said, Lord, are you calling me to go work with those boys? And I had peace. Like, I knew that that's what I was being called to do.
Hopefully 13 boys will come to the shelter this morning, and they'll be rescued off the streets.
Honestly, there were so many years that I worked on the streets in Nairobi without a place to take boys. I would just get to know them and help them, like, in the small ways that I could. And the fact that God has provided the shelter and given us opportunity to be rescuing kids off the streets and make a real difference in their life, it's really exciting. Like, life will not be the same for these boys. And Naivasha Children's Shelter, our mission is to rescue them from the streets, to help them to be rehabilitated, to get off drugs, to go through trauma counseling. And as much as we see that these kids need food and they need education and they need a bed to sleep in, they do. They need all of those things. But what they really need is the love of a family. They need to belong somewhere. They need to be well cared for. They need to know that they're loved. And we show them that through the love that the social workers give them here. We show them that by pointing to the love of Christ, and we show them that by putting them back in their family, where they belong, with people who love them. One of our social workers, Elphys, has spent hours looking for one kid that's lost, that he wants to be able to have a new life. And it's not just Elphys. All of the social workers at the shelter are amazing. They go to the streets every day and every night. They get to know the boys, they get to hear their story, know why they came to the streets, know what happened in their family, and offer them a way out.
I talk to them, I make them understand that despite everything that you're going through, there is hope and there is someone who cares. That's why I'm here.
I had seen enough of orphanages, I had worked with enough organizations that I knew the best place for any child is in their family. And we don't just take them home and drop them off. What we do is we spend a lot of time going to the family and finding out what sent that child to the streets. Was it the influence of peers? Was it poverty at home? And then spend a lot of time working on that issue with the family. Every child that's placed back at home, they follow them until they reach the age of 18 or they finish school. Just to make sure that child has no chance of going back to the streets, everything is fine, they have enough food, they're in school, they invest their lives in these children.
I'm sure that these kids, if given a chance and a place to make their lives, for sure they are going to change and make a better generation to come.
I just want to sincerely say thank you. It is because of Southern Baptist that I am able to be here. The shelter is able to keep running. I'm able to serve in this way because of your gifts to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program. And it's miraculous to see a child that was alone living on the streets and hopeless reunited with their family. This is the model that works. This is what helps to get kids back home where they should be and where they want to be.
I know this is the time of year that we all look forward to taking our kids to sit on Santa Claus's lap. This is a time that we look forward to Christmas parades, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We can't wait until we have our Christmas play here at church. We hear the children sing. And we're so looking forward to the cantata from our choir. Well, none of that's going to happen this year. You know, you sit in front of plexiglass when you go see Santa Claus. You watch a parade from your TV, or you just drive down Main Street, Stokesdale, and look at the windows But one thing that has not changed about our tradition here at Christmas is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which today kicks off the week of prayer for international missions. I'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit more about that in a minute. But some of you may not have grown up Southern Baptist. And you say, well, what is and why is Lottie Moon? So I'll either remind us something that everybody knows or you'll learn something new. But there was a young lady born in 1840 named Charlotte Diggs Moon. I have no idea where they got Lottie out of that, but she was born. She rebelled against Christ until she was in college. She graduated, though, with a master's degree, one of the first women in the whole United States. Not from the University of Virginia, because she wasn't allowed to go there because she was a woman, but the counterpart to that university. At the age of 32, she received a proposal for marriage. Well, she turned it down and went to China. That's a little extreme, I think, but anyway, she went to China to spread the word of Christ to the people in China. She stayed there for 40 years, and while she was there, she really didn't have that much success. But she worked at it for that long. And during that time, she would write letters back to the American churches encouraging them to send more and support missionaries into China. So in 1918, the WMU, and if you're familiar with Southern Baptist heritage, you don't mess with the WMU. Whatever they say goes. And they named this offering the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So today we're kicking that off. And today it starts day one of an 8-day week of prayer. You've already saw the video for today. If you go on our public Facebook page, each day around noon, you'll see me introduce our video of the day. You should just do that for fun, because I may actually mix up the introduction with the video, or there's no way I've said Bonpo or Kahalia or anything like that correctly. So just for the entertainment alone, I think you need to go to our Facebook page about noon every day. But the point is this week of prayer isn't just about, oh, God bless the missionaries out on the field. Today, pick out someone that you saw in that video, and you can watch it again from our Facebook page if you didn't watch closely. But pick someone out like Alpha. He was looking for one person. The lady said he was looking for one boy that he could change her life. You know, maybe God is looking for one of us just to pray for that one person. So every day this week, take a few minutes and pick something specific out in that video and pray specifically for those people. So in general, it's all about money, isn't it? So this is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We have envelopes back here on the tables, over in the sanctuary, on the sanitized station, I call it. It's called, it's got a bottle of sanitizer. We have them in the glass doors out here in the office. So pick up an envelope. You really don't have to put it in an envelope. If you want to write a check, just put it in the memo, Lottie Moon. Bring it by the office. You can give online on our website. As you give online, make sure that you note that it's for Lottie Moon. So our goal this year is $9,000. I think that's very reachable for our church. You know, we were talking in the missions meeting. We did have a trip to Cuba, but we had no other mission trips for the year. Maybe this is our mission effort for the year here is Lottie Moon. So certainly thank you for the time. Enjoy this week of prayer. There are pamphlets that also discuss each day. So thank you. Thank you, Lynn. What a blessing that is, the light of the world.
given for us, our Savior Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel in chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It seems like people are geared up, and this is the time historically for me that I get geared up toward Christmas. Thanksgiving is over. We've had that time to eat turkey, spend time with family. Not that we're not thankful or shouldn't be thankful every day of our life, but Thanksgiving is generally that time when our mind is called specifically to pause and give thanks for the many blessings that we have in our life. And then once we get through Thanksgiving, now I'm going to ask you, how many of you all put your Christmas tree up already? How many of you waited until after Thanksgiving? Okay, yeah. How many of you said 2020 is such a messed up year, I'm going to put it up in July or whatever? How many of you put it up before Thanksgiving? Okay, I got you. It's okay, and we understand, because you know what? Christmas is such a special time of year, particularly when we keep it in the proper perspective. Now, I want us to think about a couple of things as we kick off. Technically, this would be the kickoff of the holiday season or the Christmas season as we've known it. I know that's the way that I grew up. There used to be a time when the department stores would wait until after Thanksgiving before the Christmas items began to come out. How many of y'all remember that? You know, I think that era was called the good old days, right? And that's what it was referred to. But they would wait till Thanksgiving was over with, and then you would start to see the, you know, Santa's workshop being set up at the malls or the, you know, Santa's chair, and you would begin to line out the dates. And the Sears catalog, now I'm dating myself, the Sears catalog was the thing to have. You would dog ear pages, and we would look so forward to heading in to the Christmas season. And it was always, for me, it was always after Thanksgiving that took place. Now, as we begin to get into the Christmas season, since Thanksgiving is now behind us as far as the holiday of Thanksgiving, I want us to consider what kicks off the Christmas season biblically for just a moment. Now, I want us to consider how the Word of God is laid out. We think about the Old Testament days. We think about the times for all the way from the creation of earth, all the way up through to the close of the Old Testament in Malachi. And one of the things that we see is prophecy of a coming Christ which will save the people from their sins. You're hearing about that through all these books, all the prophets that touted what was taking place, what was going to happen, what was going on. And then when you get to the end of Malachi, in the end of the Old Testament, there's a 400 years of silence before the start of the New Testament. Now, how many of you all are willing to wait 400 years for something? Yeah. Most of us aren't willing to wait 4 seconds for something, and we just live in that impatient society. So I want you to get that time frame for just a few moments, because you have to think about all of the centuries that there was the foretelling of a coming Messiah. Yeah, think about it. From the days of Isaiah, yeah, you think about them always saying, there is going to be a Christ that is coming that will save the people from their sins. So for all this time, they were looking for the coming Messiah, or should have been at least. And then you hit this period where for 400 years, you're not hearing anything from any of the prophets. For 400 years, you're not seeing any sort of activity at all. I think if you're like I am, you would have probably been thinking to yourself, was this just a fad? Was this something that just played out? Or what happened to the call of the coming of the Messiah? For 400 years, we have heard absolutely nothing. And then, as the New Testament starts, and at the end of that 400 years, brings in or ushers in this flurry of prophetic activity. And I mean, all of a sudden, it starts happening fast. You know, the world enters this time of a very swift prophetic fulfillment. Look with me, if you would, over at Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, And we're going to pick up in this particular passage when Gabriel comes to Mary and begins to announce what's taking place. So all these centuries before, even thousands of years before, of the foretold Messiah, now it's beginning to come to fruition. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, we read, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Verse 28, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' And then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Let's pray together. Father, as we once again come into your presence, we ask that we do so expectantly, Lord, with an expectant heart. Father, we know that you want to speak to us today, and as we gather ourselves in stillness around your word, as we put aside the distractions that could hinder us from hearing you today, Lord, I just pray that you will become very real to each and every one of us. Not that you're not, but Lord, become real to us in a way that we've never experienced before in our lives. And Lord, I just ask that as your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone truly would be lifted up, that you might be magnified, that you truly might draw all men unto you. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, after all these years of the foretelling of a coming Messiah, after the 400 years of silence, all of a sudden the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and tells her the news. Now, if you had to put an adjective in front of that news, I think depending on where you stood in this story would be what adjective you would use. Was this an exciting time? Was this a scary time? Was it a fearful time? And I think many of us would sit back and say it would depend on which character you were playing the part of in this particular story. Now, for just a moment, I want us to consider Mary. Now, historians and theologians tell us that Mary was one who was probably in her teenage years, something important to remember, at the time all of this took place. And one of the most significant events, or the most significant event in all of the world, happens to her. Gabriel appears before her and says, "You are the one. You are the one who has been chosen to bear and bring forth the Son of God, the one that will be the Savior of the world, the one that was prophesied in all of the days of the Old Testament, the one that has been talked about for centuries. You will be the one to be the man." Now that is you talk about a pretty exalted position. I mean, imagine what she must have thought. You know, well, what did I do to deserve this? This passage goes on and tells us, it says that the Lord said, you are highly favored among women. You have found favor with God. Think about that. I mean, you know, we try to please people. Now, I've said this before. How many of y'all are people pleasers? You'll be honest about that and say, I try to please people no matter what. Y'all don't have to look around. Be honest with yourselves. Should I put my hand up? Yeah, most of us do. We want to be people pleasers. Now, I want you to consider for just a moment the position Mary's in. She's a teenage young lady. The angel has appeared to her. Now, let's go back to those scriptures for just a moment, and let's look at how they begin to unravel. It says that in verses 26 and 27 that the angel went to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Now, get this, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So it wasn't that Mary was single, but it wasn't that she was married. She was engaged. That's the best way to say it. Betrothed. That's that fancy word. But in that particular day, as I've mentioned many times before, betrothal or engagement carried with it a more significance than it does in our day and age. Yeah, in today's day and age, you know, a fella decides that he wants to marry a lady, and if he's smart, he goes and talks to his potential bride's father first. Did y'all get that? If y'all are watching, guys, make sure you do that. If you want to stay in good graces, you talk to dad first. Then you go and you ask her if she will, you can get down on your knee, do it upright, and ask me, I would love for you to spend the rest of your life with me. Would you marry me? And then there comes that time of engagement, the engagement ring is worn. But yet it doesn't hold the significance in our day and age that it did back then. You have to understand that back then betrothal or engagement was a formal contract. It was actually viewed the same as marriage without the benefits, okay? So there was this time, this waiting. So here's what we learned very, very early in Luke chapter 1 about Mary is that it wasn't that she was just single. She wasn't a wallflower. She wasn't sitting at home just waiting to see what was going to happen. Yet she had planned her life as well. Yeah, she probably had the same thoughts that many young women had along the way. You know, here's this boy. I know how it goes, particularly with girls. They get around and talk about boys, don't you? Thank you. Yeah, they do. They'll admit it. They won't tell you what they talk about, but they talk about boys. Yeah, and you'll hear them giggle and laugh. And I'm sure Mary was probably the same way. And so we learn that not only did she have a boyfriend, as it were, that this was a serious relationship that was going to the next step or the next level of marriage. Now, this is what we learn in verse 27, and then we see in verse 28, and it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, he said to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. Now, I think that we would just love to hear that from the Father, wouldn't we? For the Father to say, hey, you are favored. You are highly favored. You are doing well. You're doing this thing right. You're walking right. You're talking right. You're studying right. You're doing all of the wonderful things. You are walking in the right manner. So I feel at this particular point, Mary probably felt pretty good about herself and pretty good about her life and sitting there thinking, this is great. Maybe in a moment of awe. And verse 29 says, but when she saw him, now remember what the angel has just said. The angel just said, rejoice, because you are highly favored among women. You have found favor with God. But verse 29 says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So it even tells you why she was troubled. Yeah, I'm sure she, in other words, if I was to translate that to today's speak, she would be like, this is great. Why are you here? Yeah, I'm curious as to why you have shown up. Don't get me wrong, I'm loving it. Thanks for the kudos. But I'm curious. It says she was troubled, verse 29, at his saying and considered, what type of greeting is this? Verse 30, he goes to tells. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Now, it's really interesting that it didn't say in the passage right before that Mary was afraid. It said that Mary was what? Troubled. Do you think there's a difference between being troubled and being afraid? I believe there is. Because when you think about the context of this, Mary was troubled because she didn't quite know why this type of greeting was taking place. But then the angel Gabriel says to her, "Now, I don't want you to be afraid." And I'm sure that got Mary's attention as well in the conversation. Afraid? Is there something I'm supposed to be afraid for? Verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." That sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? What was Mary's boyfriend's name? Joseph. Now, she's sitting there saying, well, maybe we're getting a little bit ahead of this thing because Joseph and I aren't married yet. Thanks for the kudos. Thanks for all this good stuff. Wonderful. You know, that's good news to hear. And folks, you got to remember, too, that in particularly the New Testament days, Old and New Testament days, if a woman was barren and could not have children, then she was ostracized in many societies. And she felt like, in and of herself, that she was a useless person unless they were bearing children. So now Mary is sitting there thinking, well, you know, I hadn't even tried this thing, you know, called marriage yet. I'm engaged. Okay, well, now notice what he goes on. The angel goes on to describe this child. It says, you're going to have a child. This is what you're going to call him. You're going to call him Jesus. He even said what the name would be. Verse 32, he says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, I believe with all of my heart that Mary was just being, her heart and mind were just being reinforced about the things that she already knew. Why do I say that? Because the passages or the verses just before that said that Mary had found favor with God. You know what that means? She was walking with God. She was talking with God. She was doing everything to live what I will call an Old Testament pre-Jesus spiritual life as a believer. She knew about him. She knew about the fact that there was going to be a coming Messiah. She just had no idea up until this particular point that she would be the one who would carry the newborn king. So all these things, all these emotions have to be flooding into her heart and into her mind at this point. In verse 34, Mary begins to speak. Mary begins to respond to what the angel has put before her as what is going to happen. Verse 34 says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now, we need to pause here for just a moment because we have to consider the fact that this was called the Immaculate Conception. You've heard that term before. You know what that means. Now, I don't want to get into it because of kids being around, but most of us know how babies come about. Agreed? Do you agree with me? If you don't, we'll make an appointment. We'll talk about it later. Most of you out there that are viewing, you understand how children come into this world, right? Mary begins to point this out to Gabriel. I find that amusing, don't you? She says, look again, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Although Joseph and Mary were betrothed or engaged, although it had a significance to it, although it was a binding contract, they had not been he-in and she-in. Yeah, that wasn't, they weren't at that point yet. So Mary is sitting there thinking, how can this be? Because, and that's where she says in the latter part of verse 34, since I do not know a man. In other words, she hadn't been doing what it takes to bring a child into this world. Yeah, she says, not just with the one I'm engaged to, but anyone. I don't know a man. So how is this going to be? How can this take place? Mary's scratching her head. Now, it's interesting that she's asking questions at this point, because could you imagine having that sort of a weight dropped on you at that particular point? Remember, a teenage girl. Verse 35 says this. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And I'm sure Mary went, oh, that explains it. It didn't explain it. I mean, to her, she didn't know. She didn't have a clue. She didn't understand. She's sitting there saying, oh, okay, so this is the way this is going to happen. Now, for a moment, I want you to pause and put yourself in the shoes of Mary. You know, even though she is hearing this, even though all of these things are right and correct, even though she believed what was going to take place, I want you to think about her for just a moment, because Mary undoubtedly had many plans of her own, don't you think? Yeah, you know, Mary's going through life. Mary's got this idea of what it should be like. She's engaged. She's probably planning her wedding. She's probably thinking about who to invite. You know, the marriage feast was a big thing back in that day. You know, her heart belonged to Joseph. And then all of a sudden, her world gets turned completely upside down. Oh, by the way, you're going to have a baby. And it's not going to be Joseph's. Now, would that put a kink in your plans? Think about that for a moment. She had dreams like every other young woman as they sat around and talked and dreamed about what the wedding would be like, that she would someday, you know, marry Mr. Right. And in this case, this was Joseph. Yeah, she had already found him, that she would have children of her own. She looked forward to what it would be like to raise a family and to just set out in this thing called life with the afterburners kicked on. And all of that just changed. Like that, didn't it? And she was having trouble wrapping her mind around it. Yeah, you know, she was glad that that Gabriel had said to her that that she had found favor with God. That was great. She was glad, you know, that she was going to be the instrument in God's hands. But this thing is nothing like she thought it was going to be. How many times do we do that in life? Particularly this year. This has been a really strange year, hadn't it? When January the 1st, when everybody yelled, Happy New Year, is this what you figured the year would be ending up like? No. A lot of your plans have been put on hold. A lot of your dreams have been set back. And many of us look at it, and I've heard so many times, I like that expression. I think I saw a meme on social media that says, "I think I'm gonna take my mama up on that offer to kick me into next year because I'm done. I'm so done with 2020." But all our dreams and everything it began to change. Everything that she thought was right, and all of a sudden, how am I going to explain this to Joseph? You know, what? Can I be happy? Am I supposed to be happy? What am I going to tell my parents? I mean, ladies, imagine trying to explain this to your good, God-fearing mama and daddy who love you. Mom and dad, I got great news. I'm expecting. What? Wait, man, you and Joseph ain't married yet. You're not supposed to be doing those things. It's not his. What? That's even worse. No. It's nobody you know. That is even worse. One minute, let me back up for a minute. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. Let me ask you for something for a moment. Would you believe her? I mean, if you were in Mary's circle of friends and y'all had girl talk, and talked about boys and all that, and she came in and said to you, girls, you're not going to believe this. I'm with child. It's not Joseph's. It's the Holy Spirit's. And this is the one that's been prophesied forever and ever and ever as the coming Messiah. What would you think? Ooh, yeah, I love the expression. I wish I could capture that expression. I don't know about that. You know why? Because it had never happened before. And it's never happened since. That's why some people have such a hard time wrapping their mind around the virgin birth of Christ. But folks, let me tell you something. With God, all things are possible. All things. See, you think about this emotional roller coaster Mary must have been on, at least in these moments. In verse 36, he says, and then he says, look, by the way, you're not the only one. It says, verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now remember, this is the parents of John the Baptist. Remember, the parents were older. They were beyond the years of conception. And I can picture what Mary would say right now. Mary would say, yeah, but they're married. Nobody's going to talk about them. Nobody's going to say things about them. Nobody's going to chastise them. She's not going to be on the gossip circuit like I am. Could you imagine what that would be like? I mean, folks, listen, we're guilty. All of us do that. If somebody came in with that claim today, we'd be sitting there going, all right. Yeah, we know what's going on. Whether anything was ever said or not, we will cast that judgment. Let me ask you, do you believe that people cast judgment on Mary as she began to show? Do you think people looked at her in wonder and said, she got this out of order. I thought she was that good church girl. She was that good church girl that attended Central Baptist Church down there. And Lord have mercy, I'm sure her parents are so disappointed. Can you imagine that? And she did nothing wrong except to be right in the middle of the will of God. Folks, I want to tell you that sometimes being in the will of God is going to make you not a favorable person with other people. There are going to be people who are going to judge you. There are going to be people who are going to jump to conclusions about whatever it is that you say, whatever it is that you do. And you will not be able to please all of the people all the time. But here's what I want you to understand today. You don't have to please anybody anytime as long as you please God Almighty all the time. That's what it's about. And Mary, now see, she said, you and Elizabeth get to chat. She's 6 months ahead of you, but that's John the Baptist. Remember what they called him, the forerunner of Christ? And I love it because I imagine what it was like in the scriptures where it talks after this, where Mary and Elizabeth got together and talked. I could imagine what that conversation was like, because you know what? It seemed like there was real joy in their conversation. This is great. Wow. Not in a prideful way, but in a joyous way. It says, verse 37, he tells Mary the key thing. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I know some things in our lives look impossible at this particular moment, but with God, nothing is impossible. And I loved Mary's response. Remember, Mary was a little bit confused. Mary might have been a little bit miffed about what was going on. She had some questions. She's saying, how's this going to happen? I've not known a man. What's going on? I'm glad I found favor. By the time that Gabriel gets done speaking with her, verse 38 says this. It says, then Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. You know what Mary said? Translation for 2020, let's do this. Let's get her done. Is that what you say when God asks you to do some things that seem outside of the norm? When he asks you to do things that will not be perceived by others as the right thing to do? Oh, now, this is a completely different sermon for a different day, but you got to make sure that what you're hearing is from God, not from somebody else. I can't tell you how many times people have said, God told me to tell you this. Listen, if God wants me to know something, God can tell me himself. Right? Okay? Be very careful that when God tells you to do something, you sift it through his word, you sift it through prayer, and when he confirms it for you, then don't look back. May your words be the same as Mary's in verse 38. Let it be to me according to your word. Is that what we say? When the Lord says, here's what I want you to do, do you say, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it? Or do you sit back and go, oh, no, wait a minute, man, that's going to make me unpopular. Nah, Lord, I don't want to cooperate with it. Pick someone else. nah, Lord, this is going to make me look bad in the sight of even my Christian brothers and sisters. And folks, I want to tell you right now, unfortunately, Christian people can be the most judgmental towards their own brothers and sisters than anybody in the world. And we need to change that. We need to change that. That doesn't mean that we condone sin, but it also doesn't mean that we pick up the stones. I'm reminded of the woman that was caught in adultery, that they carried to Jesus, they caught in the very act, and they all showed up with stones. And they were doing so not only to take her out, but to tempt Jesus. And they said, the law said we're supposed to stone her. But what do you say? I love Jesus' response. We don't really know what it was. His response was that he began to kneel down and write on the ground, and whatever it was so convicting that they were like, dropped their rock and headed on out. And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, I have none, Lord. Now, I've said this in a message before. There was still one there that could accuse her rightfully and righteously, wasn't it? That was Jesus. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, that doesn't mean that we have a right to take advantage of the grace of God, to cheapen it down. There needs to be repentance along the way. But when repentance is there, listen, your Christian brothers and sisters should be the ones by your side, under your arms, helping you along, not throwing you to the wolves, not saying whenever you get right, you can come back. And I'm sure we don't see, maybe someday we'll get to sit down and ask Mary and say, Mary, let me ask you something. When I get to heaven, how many people ostracized you during your pregnancy? Were there a lot of people who you really felt like were friends or that you could count on that turned their back on you when you were being obedient to what God said? I got a feeling Mary and I'll talk for a while, don't you? Imagine the hurt, the pain. Listen, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there before, and I've said, Lord, I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do, and it seems like that this crew has turned against me. Sometimes I felt like Moses. They cheered me when I led them out of Egypt, and when we get out there now, it's like, let's stone him to death out here because we should have died where there was graves and food. All of us have those moments in our lives, don't we? We have our little pity parties. Lord, I don't deserve this. No, you don't. But guess what? You're going through it for His honor, for His glory, and for His sake. And when I look at it that way, I'm willing to do that. How about you? Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, with an explanation point. She said, I'm here. Let it be to me. In other words, let your will be done. Let it be to me according to your word. She said, here am I. Let's do this. Let's get it going. At this particular point, she didn't even think about what she was going to tell Joseph yet, did she? At this particular point, she didn't even know whether or not her relationship with Joseph would continue. In fact, do you think that when Joseph heard the news, that his heart was like, oh, it's okay, sweetheart. Congratulations for being chosen of God to be the one to bear the... Is that what Joseph's attitude was? No. In fact, we know that from Scripture. How do we know that from Scripture? Because it says that Joseph, when he heard, was going to put her away privately or privately. In other words, his deal was, I ain't going to marry her no more. She's carrying somebody else's child. You know, she was unfaithful to me. Joseph's world came crashing down as well. But at this particular point, that's not what was going through Mary's mind. She said, Lord, whatever you want, here I am. Can we say that? Is that something that you and I can say as we go forward in life, regardless of the cost? I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd come on up and take her place. In a moment, we're going to have this time of commitment to the Lord. And I'm asking you today, if the Lord shows up in your life, and He will, if He hadn't already, and He asks you to do something that is completely counter intuitive or counterproductive to what you think life should look like. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the Lord says to you, here's what I want you to do for me, and it's going to be unpopular with people that you know and love and care about? What are you going to do if the Lord puts you in a situation where people will stand in judgment over you and turn their backs on you? Some of you have been there. Some of you have walked that lonely, dark path. Some of you have been wrongly judged by other people when you were in the will of God. And you've cried many tears on that lonely, dark road. Now, some of you know what it's like to hear yet another voice cry out in the darkness and say to you, it's kind of dark over here, isn't it? To say, hey, look, you know, I don't know exactly what all's going on, but I'll walk with you. We'll do this together. Sometimes the only voice you hear is the voice of the Father. They say, don't give up. Put one foot in front of the other. One more step. One more day. And someday, those people will know that God was in control and you were an instrument in his hand. I love that the book of Job. I love the passages where Job and his friends kept saying, Job, listen, you have to have sinned. That's the reason you're where you are. It's something you did. And Job was going, I haven't. I really haven't. And they were concerned about, oh, come on, man, you just need to confess whatever it is, and the Lord will do it. Job's like, I'm confessed up. I'm prayed up. And then in the end, the three friends found out that Job was right. How many of y'all like to be right in an argument? Ooh, you'll do everything you can to prove it. See, that's where it gets us sometimes, because sometimes it's hard for us to step back from that and allow God to say, you're wrong. You people were wrong. My child was right. Let it be to me according to your word. What's God put on your heart about that? You and God can make it. That's all you need. Like I said, it doesn't mean the road's not hard and lonely. But may we become examples of those who will walk with those in the darkness, not stand or sit in the seat of judgment over them. But say, hey, look, I'm here to help you back. Because your family, a lot of you all spent time with family this week, didn't you? And you'll go to the wall for them. You may not always agree with what they do, but you'll stand by them. You'll tell them, look, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I love you. You're flesh and blood, and I'll be here with you. See, Jesus, this got so turned around today. Jesus never condoned sin in the Bible, and Jesus does not condone sin today. He will still call it out, but he is a forgiver. He's a forgiver. That's the difference. And when God forgives, how dare we not forgive others? Remember what the Lord said? The Word of God says this. You need to forgive as you have been forgiven. And I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven much. Haven't you? Maybe we just need to lay that on the altar today before the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you are waiting. Your life, you've tried to do it your way. The Holy Spirit is convicting your heart about this Christ child that was prophesied for centuries, then came to fruition, who went to Calvary's cross for your sins and my sins, who resurrected on the third day, who's ascended to the Father and prepares a place for us. Have you trusted? Do you believe in him? Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe what happened with Mary. I believe what happened at the cross. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. Lord, save my soul. Have you done that? I'm begging you to do that. Listen, if you're part of our viewing audience and you need some help with that, please let us know. You can contact the church. Our website is there, www.oakridgecbc.org. We want to help you with that. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know what, I have just been messing this. I've been mucking this up. I'm a great church person, but I hadn't been a great follower. Have you been there? See my hand? I don't always do it right, but I want to. So today, maybe it's the Lord calling you to say, may it be to me as according to your will. Do you need the altar? Do you need to just give it to him right where you are? For just a moment, as we look to the Lord in prayer, will you do business with God? I'll be back in just a moment to dismiss us. As Lynn plays, you give it to him, whatever he's put. God is good, and all the time. God really, really is good. Folks, I want to give you a couple of announcements before I dismiss us in a word of prayer. As a reminder, we will not have Awana tonight, either in person or virtually. Just keep that in mind. No Awana this evening. As a reminder, continue throughout this week to go to our public website. You'll catch Mr. Tony telling you a little bit more about our Lottie Moon offering, as well as our goal. You'll see those videos up there. I want to say a very special thank you to people who have made worship the way, at least the ways that we're doing it and the way the Lord is leading us, possible. I hope I don't leave any names out, but Don, Blake, Wesley, Russell, Jeff, Chris, Tim, Ernie, all the people that make every venue possible, from video to the low power radio station for those who are sitting out in the parking lot that just went today. So if you're watching this and you're, you know, somewhere away from the church, you don't tune in to 105.5 because it's just a low power station for right here for people that are around and that are outside. In keeping with the FCC, Ernie did a fantastic job, Ernie and Don, getting that up. It just takes so many people to make this happen. Lynn did a beautiful job today. Give Lynn a hand. Thank her for just providing a great atmosphere of worship for us in the house of the Lord today. My bride over in the sanctuary, running the virtual side of things over there for our folks in the sanctuary today. But anyway, we thank you for all that you do. It is time for us to find out what God wants us to do according to His plan. I trust and pray God's going to keep us well, safe, and healthy as we go forward. Once again, I want to remind you that we have our offering receptacles. If you're in the multipurpose here with us, the box on the table. If you're outside, I believe it's right outside where our glass doors are, where the office is. If you're in our sanctuary, you can just drop your offering in the offering plates on the offering table up front. If you're watching, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org, and click on the giving tab there that we might continue to be able to preach the gospel throughout this world. And I ask you now, begin to pray about what God wants you to do in support of our Lottie Moon offering to keep those foreign missionaries out there on the field and preaching the word of God. And there's so many other things. I know there's a ton of things. As a reminder, we do plan to have our Christmas Eve communion. We will probably pick two different times, maybe one. We'll let you know details on that as we go forward. What we do is we just take that time on Christmas Eve to come together, observe communion. That's all it is. You're not going to hear me preach. It's just communion to remind us why we celebrate the season that we celebrate of Christmas. It's because of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of our Lord and Savior. And would you join us today? If you have family from out of town, it's a come as you are thing, and we always look forward to that. We will be using the disposable, hermetically sealed elements when we come together. Thank goodness they showed up. We're ready for that. But anyway, listen, I love you. I appreciate all that you do. Continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for your church as we go forward, because normal is no such a thing. And that's okay. We want to be where God wants us to be as we go forward. Is there anything I've forgotten anybody knows of right offhand? Is there youth tonight? No youth tonight. Thank you, Tracy. We will not have youth on here tonight. Finish enjoying the rest of your holiday, and we'll get back to whatever normal is as you know it. So, all right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we look forward to what God has in store for us, not only this week, but as we go forward. May we truly be able to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We come into your presence thanking you for the fact that you still choose to use people like us. Lord, when we think about what it must have been like for Mary to hear those words from Gabriel, Lord, all of her thoughts and plans and dreams and all the things that that she, even inside your will, had planned, they changed. Lord, she was willing to be able to say, Lord, I'm your servant, use me. Father, may we be in that same situation, that when you call us to do something, that no matter what our plans may have been, we're willing to surrender them to your plans because they're perfect and they're eternal. Lord, I thank you for Mary's example. Lord, may it be an example to each and every one of us as you continue to work in our heart and in our lives. Father, we pray that you'll give us a blessed week of being able to represent you, because as we walk out these doors, we truly walk into the mission field. May we represent you and represent you well. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you.